Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Blessed be God, the Father of Jesus, who has blessed us in Christ and chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy, to be God's people gathered in love. You, O God, say that you will comfort us. You say you will never leave us. Faithful God, be near to us this day and those that we are concerned about. Holy God, renew us in the image of Christ by your Spirit's power. You, O God, weigh our actions and our intentions. Forgive the times when we do not measure up. You know our need of you, though we often cover it with distractions. We ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have failed to speak your word. When we have failed to live in your light. You know the plans that you have for us. We know what it is to lack faith and to have a shaky trust. Keep us focused on you, O God. Keep us traveling in your ways today and always. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Look, a Scotswoman with money. How do you know whether that is a real £10 note or a fake? You got the strip. You got the holla malarkey. Evidently, those people who make it their job, for there are such people. Oh, there's a watermark as well. To discern whether things are real or fake, they spend their time studying the real money. So that when a fake appears, they can spot it. But they spend their time studying that which is real. Now, we've all met people who are fake. I think on this day we would we'd think of Brenda as completely real, completely and utterly real. And for us, as Christian people, it is about not having a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening activity, but being part of a people who struggle to have a genuine love of Jesus, eyes on Jesus, who will transform us, keeping our eyes on him so that we will be real Christian people. Not pseudo, because we can all, I've been on retreat. I come back, I love everybody, everybody's great. I meet a member of my family and it's all gone. We can all be pseudo Christians, but to be real, so that somebody stands on your toes, somebody cuts in front of you, somebody challenges your integrity, da 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 da. Somebody says, "Let's go to a party," and you go, "No, no." Real eyes on Jesus. Now, can I trust you if I keep this here? Can I? Robin, I'm counting on you. Keep an eye on my money. There it is. We're going to sing. June Avery's walking in. Somebody will tell her the news, please. We're going to sing "The Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock" with actions. Yes, we are. Yoo-hoo! Up we get. Come on, come on. Oh, do I have to? Yes, you do. Are you going to play this, Tony, or am I going to sing it? I'll sing it. Oh yeah, of course.
Oh,
Stella, is Martin reading both the readings? Okay. Finley, could you do one of the readings? Which reading are you doing, Martin? Which reading are you doing? Pardon? Okay. Would you make your way up and find Amos, please? Yes, thank you. This is what happens when the church changes the PA. The admin goes nuts.
Some have greatness thrust upon them.
Yes, that's it. Thank you very much, Finlay. I'll introduce this reading, which will give you a minute, and it'll also give Martin Verge a minute to be looking at the mark, won't it, Martin? Great. Good. You see, you all thought I was talking to you. It's a lie. I'm talking to Martin. Right. Here we go. This passage from Amos. If you're sitting in your house and there's not much on the telly and you can't think of what to do, get your Bible out and read Amos. It's great. Amos has, first thing that happens is he regales the peoples of the world, and then he homes in on Israel and Judah and gives them a lambasting. And then he has a series of visions, which is the first bit of this reading, is one of those visions. And then he goes on, he warns the people that they're in deadly moral danger. And then what happens is one of the priests, who is obviously making his living, highly committed to the structure, staying as it is, speaks to Amos and criticizes him. That is Finlay Forbes, and he's going to read to us. Thank you, Finlay.
I had another vision from the Lord. In it, I saw him standing beside a wall that had been built with the help of a plumb line. And there was a plumb line in his hand. He asked me, "Amos, what do you see?" "A plumb line," I answered. Then he said, "I am using it to show that my people are like a wall that is out of line. I will not change my mind again about punishing them. The places where Isaac's descendants worship will be destroyed. The holy places of Israel will be left in ruins. I will bring the dynasty of King Jeroboam to an end." Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, then sent a report to King Jeroboam of Israel. "Amos is plotting against you among the people. His speeches will destroy the country." This is what he says: "Jeroboam will die in battle, and the people of Israel will be taken away from their land into exile." Amaziah then said to Amos, "That's enough, prophet. Go back to Judah and do your preaching there. Let them pay you for it. Don't prophesy here at Bethel anymore. This is the king's place of worship, the national temple." Amos answered, "I am not the kind of prophet who prophesies for pay. I am a herdsman, and I take care of fig trees. But the Lord took me from my work as a shepherd and ordered me to come and prophesy to his people, Israel."
Thank you. And this is an example, this reading, which Martin is going to read to us, of what corrupt leadership looks like.
So the second reading is from Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 14 and reading through to verse 29. Headed "The Death of John the Baptist." Now King Herod heard about all this because Jesus' reputation had spread everywhere. Some people were saying, "John the Baptist has come back to life. That is why he has this power to perform miracles. Others, however, said, he is Elijah. Others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. When Herod heard it, he said, here's John the Baptist. I had his head cut off, but he has come back to life. Herod himself had ordered John's arrest, and he had him chained and put in prison. Herod did this because of Herodias, whom he had married, even though she was the wife of his brother Philip. John the Baptist kept telling Herod, it isn't right for you to be married to your brother's wife. So Herodias held a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not because of Herod. Herod was afraid of John because he knew that John was a good and holy man, and so he kept him safe. He liked to listen to him, even though he became greatly disturbed every time he heard him. Finally, Herodias got her chance. It was on Herod's birthday, when he gave a feast for all the chief government officials, the military commanders, and the leading citizens of Galilee. The daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and his guests. So the king said to the girl, what would you like to have? I will give you anything you want. With many vows, he said to her, I swear that I will give you anything you ask for, even as much as half my kingdom. So the girl went out and asked her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. The girl hurried back at once to the king and demanded, I want you to give me, here and now, the head of John the Baptist on a dish. This made the king very sad, but he could not refuse her because of the vows he had made in front of all his guests. So he sent off a guard at once with orders to bring John's head. The guard left, went to the prison and cut John's head off. Then he brought it on a dish and gave it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and took away his body and buried it.
So the vision that is in that passage from Amos is of a plumb line. A plumb line is a bit of lead, plumb, on a bit of string, a weight that shows that a wall is straight. That's the job. So the job of a plumb line is to show that something is straight, that something is true. And so Amos and John the Baptist have both spoken words that they believe to be true. Neither of them wins any friends. And they are an example of what happens when an individual speaks out against the powerful, that easily the speaker suffers. That does not mean, however, that they are wrong to speak out. The church has always spoken out about truth and rightness of behavior, but usually we have spoken in terms of lambasting individuals for usually their sexual moral choices. That's been our happy ground. I remember reading somewhere about somebody who went to worship somewhere, and the minister got red in the face and he was ranting about adultery. And then this person looked round the congregation and thought, nah. The words that are coming out of this man's mouth are not in any way represented by this gang of 80-year-olds who are listening to, you know, it's just great, isn't it, ranting against somebody else's sin. Marvelous. We all love that. Right, that's one issue about the plumb line. It's true, slagging off other people's sin. The other thing that we have majored on is about our individual choices and our individual example, which is important, but only part of it. This is, well, you heard it here first. This is me quoting Peter Stringfellow. He says, "Sex was never a topic of conversation in our household. We didn't talk about it, never. My father talk about sex? Are you crazy? I remember years later when I introduced the girls to my clubs, I asked my dad to come down and he said, 'I don't think so, son.' I said, 'I know it's topless, Dad, but you don't have to get involved. Just sit and have a look.' He was about 72 and he went, 'Your mum wouldn't like it.' I said, 'Dad, mum's been dead for 5 years. And he said, 'Yeah, but she still wouldn't like it.'" I think that's a plumb line. I think that's a man holding out in for his, you know, I'm not talking about Peter Stringfellow, I'm talking about his father, holding out for the line of what he believes to be right. But it's an individual thing. It's an individual talking to another individual, which is not what's in these passages. I mean, I'm not saying that's not important. You know, on Monday morning, when you're getting on with real Christian life, that's where we're called to. But also, there's the other stuff, which is about groups and organizations. And also, the other bit is, it's easy to pick on the individual and the weak and the one. Whereas in these two passages, what we're talking about is challenging and criticizing the big and the powerful and the many. So we have in Mark the hideous story of what happens when you let lust and power and bragging get the better of you. So what would have happened if Herod had smiled and says, "Oh, good, well done, fabulous dance, thank you very much, give me another glass of wine, here we go." But instead he offers half of a kingdom that he doesn't have. He hasn't got a kingdom, and he offers half of it. And then, once he's said and he's had his bluff called, he's a fool, and he doesn't say, "I didn't mean that, I meant, would you like a new frock?" John is in prison because he has criticized Herod, this Herod, there are loads of Herods, and their sexual history is convoluted, to say the least. I could take you through that, but we'd be here for the rest of the morning, and it wouldn't get us very far. But basically, Herod marries his brother's wife. And when they meet, they're both married to somebody else, and they get together, and they get married. And Herod, who is guilty of all sorts of brutality and all sexual sin, still has some sort of fascination, respect for John the Baptizer. Somehow, John still has respect in his eyes. So he imprisons him, but he won't kill him. And in this situation, he shows himself to be a weak man who will not admit that he has made a mistake. He doesn't have the moral courage, who's surprised, to do the right thing. Herodias, on the other hand, sees her moment. She wants to eliminate somebody who has spoken out against her, who has confronted her. She wants to be able to sin in peace. There are people who raise issues with us who are a pain in the neck. Just irritate the bejesus out of you. But you know that what they are saying has to be said and their challenge has to be heard. And it's not easy. And we, as little people, can all understand that we could quite understand that the powerful people, if they can sort it out, they might well be very tempted so to do. Because we know what it feels like to think what a pain in the neck it is. But to have people around us who challenge us and who kick us and who question us and who stretch us is not comfy, but it's not frothy, it's not lovely, but it is right and it is real, and it's real because that is what life is. The prophet Amos is criticized, not killed, for speaking out. And his morality is questioned. His integrity is undermined. He is accused of earning his living by his prophesying. He says quite clearly that, look, I was doing okay, thank you very much. And God called me to this job, and here I am, away from home, preaching what I believe to be the truth. And he sees a plumb line and he asks, where in society are you being true? Now, in our society, those who would say, who would criticize others, and who would say, look, that is wrong. Those people are, the minute somebody stands up in our society and says, that is wrong, that is questionable, we all know that what happens is that their background, their history is searched. And before we know it, the person that we thought of as a great hero, we suddenly discover that they have fiddled their taxes or, you know, didn't pay for their parking once or whatever it is. You know, that's the search is on. So who would do it? Who would do it for as long as we delight in salacious gossip about others? So Amos is recounting a vision, and as he does it, he is interrupted by Amaziah, who is a member of the establishment, who wants Amos to clear off and keep quiet because he, Amaziah, is doing very well, thank you very much, from the status quo. Amaziah says, go back to Judah where you came from. Amaziah criticizes Amos because he says that Amos is earning his living through the words that he is speaking. I just want to shoot off at a tangent here. And I want to say that for people like me, who are professional religious people, our words are worth 1% of the things of God that your words are worth. Because my words, the minute I say anything in society, people go, well, they might not say it, but they think it. Well, you would say that, wouldn't you? Of course, you know, oh, you know, it's got a big tail and it runs up a tree. Oh, that's the squirrel. No, it must be Jesus. You know, that's what you would say, wouldn't you? So your words, don't think, oh, God, wish somebody who was religious was here. Don't think that. Think, if I can answer this question in anything like a halfway decent way, it will be a lot better than if Holy Joe was with me. Now that means that you've got to think and pray and work out some answers in the good times to the difficult questions that you know that are there. Why suffering? Why pain? Why cancer? Why death? And if we really can't give the whole answer, to work out how you say, I know the answer to this bit, but this I'm still questioning, puzzling. Find people to talk to. Right. Back to the zone. So Amos makes it clear that he's made a perfectly good living before. He's in Israel preaching because he believes that is what God has called him to do, which is the same for John the Baptist, who is speaking a word, a difficult word, to the powerful because he believes it is what God has wanted him to do. And all over the world today, there are people who will be tortured, who will be killed, who will be imprisoned because they have the courage to speak out against their government. Why don't you just keep your head down? Why don't you just say nothing? Can you be consistent to be who you are and actually just keep quiet about it? And the pieces, two pieces of work that we're doing during the summer, one about homes and one about debt, and the confrontation that will be part of that with Kingston Council, which is what we believe God is calling us to do at this time. Enough. One further thing before I stop. The thing about Herod is he makes this loud, drunken offer, and then when he is taken up on it, he's left feeling like a fool. Be careful about the words you say. To be a person who says one thing and does something else is not a gospel thing. Negative words about yourself, stop them. And be a person who, when you have made a mistake like Herod did, you opened his mouth, he said things that he... Have the courage to apologize, but better, have the reputation as being a person who, when they say it, they will deliver. And I have to tell you that this time sort of a week and a day ago, when I was standing, waiting in the corridor there, waiting for the big, hideous performance, I was thinking to myself, why, oh, why did I open my big Geordie mouth and say, oh, yeah, talent show, yeah, I'll be there, count on me. Let us be still. Oh God, we confess that sometimes we are seduced by dances that are not in step with you. In our desire to please others, we are romanced into forgetting your ways. In what we leave unsaid, we offer approval to the unjust and the ungodly. So strengthen us this week as individuals and as a prophetic community that we will try once more to follow in the steps of Christ. Lord, we pray. Amen. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us, we join to sing. So let us join to pray. Let us pray. So let's begin by praying for Phil Crump. For Jane, for Anne, for Michael and their partners, children and the family. Let's pray for all those who are bereaved on this day. And all those who have been bereaved long ago, but still, on this day, it bites them. Let us pray for those who are bereaved because of war. And hunger. Let us pray for those people who bravely speak out. Those areas of the world where Christians face persecution. Let's pray for those places in our own country where God seems to be absent. Let's pray for our church, our home, our neighbourhood, and all the struggles we have in centering our lives on the love of God, the power of God, the presence of God, and the justice of God. Let us pray for ourselves. Those that we're concerned about. Lord our God, you call us to follow. We journey in your strength. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Bless the offering we bring, Lord Jesus. Bless us too, that our money, our whole lives might be for you, that your will be done and your kingdom come, even through us. In your name we pray. Amen. So we had a bit of debate and we decided that the right song to sing on this day is number 72, for those of you who use a hymn book, Now Thank We All Our God. God lavishes grace upon us, calls us to be God's children, and we will try once more to follow the steps of Christ. Amen.